More document destruction revealed in Iran-Contra scandal. U.S. steps over the SALT II line deliberately. Kilauea volcano putting on a spectacular show. Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. The paper shredder was really humming at the National Security Council offices, according to the New York Times. The newspaper claims not only NSC aide Oliver North, but also National Security Advisor John Poindexter himself destroyed, quote, stacks of sensitive documents, although it's not clear whether any of them concerned the administration's secret dealings with Iran and diversion of funds to the Contras. The Boston Globe reports that unlike Colonel North, Admiral Poindexter has not been locked out of the White House since his resignation Tuesday. A White House spokesman is quoted as saying Poindexter is still being allowed in to remove personal belongings. Congressional probers have their work cut out for them in the Iran affair, but President Reagan is taking his ease at the California ranch while the storm rages in Washington. We have two reports. First, Rich Holter of Minneapolis affiliate WCCO.
Senate Intelligence Committee Chairman Dave Durenberger says the two-week investigation by his committee will look not only for violations of the law in the sale of arms to Iran and the channeling of funds to the Contra rebels, but also for possible damage to this country's national security policy. And the Minnesota Republican says he expects to find out exactly who was involved.
What we may not have at that point is how the decisions were actually made as they relate to the arms sale, relationship to the hostages in the Middle East, the relationship to the Contra activity in Central America.
Durenberger says all those known to be connected with the arms sales will be called on to testify, but the preliminary subpoena list does not contain the names of the president or any members of his cabinet. Durenberger says after 2 weeks of hearings, his committee will decide if any cabinet members will be asked to testify under oath. Rich Holter for CBS News, Minneapolis.
This is Jacqueline Adams in Santa Barbara. President Reagan is relaxing this weekend at his ranch, riding his horses, chopping wood. But his staff is embroiled in a swirl of controversy over the Iran arms sales. White House officials are fully aware of the damage this week's steady stream of leaks can create. But at this point, said one official, we have no big bang solution. With the budget and the State of the Union address coming up, officials are trying to conduct business as usual, despite two administration inquiries and the growing number of calls from Capitol Hill for information. The Speaker of Iran's parliament is also tweaking the Reagan administration, saying Iran will consider helping to free American hostages still in Lebanon if the U.S. delivers weapons bought by the late Shah. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, with the president in Santa Barbara.
The dimensions of the arms shipments to Iran may be far greater than current speculation has it. Times of London correspondent Robert Fisk in Cyprus has been trying to ferret out details.
My understanding is that 20 aircraft carrying military spare parts and in some cases weapons arrived in Tehran during the period of the McFarlane visit. Now, I've been told that these aircraft, most of them, carried spare parts and engines for tanks, which of course would be quite bulky, that other aircraft carried weapons. What kind of aircraft and of which nationality, I don't know. In fact, my sources told me that the Iranians were so anxious to keep the arrival of these shipments secret that following the arrival of these aircraft, some of the air traffic controllers were arrested because some Iranian officials feared that they might talk about what they'd seen once the weapons and spare parts had been unloaded, and that indeed the flight plans for the aircraft were destroyed once they had landed.
Times of London correspondent Robert Fisk. It was just a routine landing of a B-52 bomber at Carswell Air Force Base in Texas, but it marked the beginning of a new phase of the superpower relationship. The plane is capable of carrying cruise missiles, and its deployment puts the U.S. over the limits of the unratified SALT II treaty. The Soviets are furious. Vladimir Bogachev works for the news agency TASS.
My impression is that the present administration wants to destroy the possibility of restoring real arms control relations with our country. He doesn't do a thing himself, but he wants to destroy the perspective for any better relations between our countries in the military field.
But the U.S. maintains the Soviets long ago surpassed the SALT II weapons ceiling. Thousands of riot police confronted tens of thousands of anti-government demonstrators in Seoul, South Korea, and there were flare-ups of violence. John Macbeth of the Far Eastern Economic Review was there.
The rally itself never got off the ground, though police reported about 30 clashes in different parts of downtown Seoul. They said that they had arrested 2,000 people and seized roughly 850 Molotov cocktails. This was the largest police mobilization in the heart of Seoul in memory. The entire 35,000-man Seoul police force was placed on alert. Another 4,000 policemen were brought in from the provinces, and 7,000 to 8,000 policemen were in direct riot control duty in the heart of the city.
Death was instantaneous as an enormous explosion rocked a chemical plant in Sydney, Australia. We asked David Glyde of radio station 2UE for details.
An explosion, they don't know exactly what caused the explosion, ripped through the building and it killed five people, injuring 14 others. There was around about 60 people in the building at the time. Investigators are acting on the theory at the moment that one of the empty vats in this section of the building was actually filled with a chemical residue that they believe may have been inflammable. The men were apparently on top of that and welding a section of it when it exploded.
The plant had been closed for maintenance work about a week ago. The greatest show on Earth right at the moment is going on at a hard-to-get-to spot in Hawaii, where a river of lava from the Kilauea volcano is plunging into the sea. Kim Kanoa of our Honolulu affiliate KGU reports.
An artist couldn't paint a picture finer than the one Mother Nature has painted on the southeast coast of the island of Hawaii, but only about 30 people are even near enough to witness the scene.
Lava going into the sea is a dark reddish-orange. There's a fume cloud going up into the sky. It's colored by the lava, making a pretty good show down here. Very unique.
Bobby Kamara, park interpreter at the Hawaiian Volcanoes National Park. Kamara says patrol officers are monitoring the traffic in the area and firefighters are on hand to keep an eye out for possible wildland fires. Scientists say Kilauea shows no signs of stopping. Kim Kanoa for CBS News, Honolulu.
It's been 35 years since the last time an unwelcome visitor called a Taiwan flu landed in the United States, but it's back and the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta is on the alert.
The a Taiwan flu has been identified in several states now, beginning in Texas, and it's also been identified in New York, in Oregon, and Florida.
CDC epidemiologist Nancy Arden. The time now, 10 minutes past 7.